Hello and welcome to another beautiful episode of Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. It's 1:50 a.m. I'm chilling out on the porch with my buddy. And I'm smoking on some buds, some Brownie Scout. And last night I watched a Jess Franco movie, and I remembered that I really like Jess Franco. I like the way his movies look. I like how he shoots them. I like that they're dirty, that there is nudity in them, and I like the fact that I like the way he uses music. And I had seen She Killed in Ecstasy, which I'm still not sure is a Jess Franco movie, also known as Jesus Franco. But I'm pretty sure it is. And the one I watched last night, I don't remember the name of it. I have to look it up. It's one of the earlier ones. We're talking 62, early 60s. And it's definitely got that Jess Franco style, except it's an early version of it. So it's interesting. It's definitely a curiosity. It's not a great movie, but it's a curiosity. And I would say a must watch if you're a fan, if you're a Jess Franco fan. And I would say later on is when he kind of got into his Jess Franco thing, what we think of as the Jess Franco aesthetic. I think that really came about in the late 60s and then the 70s. I can't be sure. I'm not a Jess Franco expert. I haven't actually seen a lot of his movies, but based on what I have seen, I would say that that was the case. So yeah, this one I would say is an early curiosity. So I should mention it's 1:53 a.m. And when I say I'm chilling with my buddy, I mean the cat. I don't want to give out his name on the podcast, though. And what I'm smoking on, what am I smoking on? Well, I'm smoking on some Brownie Scout, which is very strong and making me feel very nice. And I just took one hit and I'm already high. It's 41 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's warming up already. And it is Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. I hope you all have a nice Wednesday. I'll be back on later to talk to you some more, right here on Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Sorry, I had to let the cat inside. He's been in and out. Peace. Hey, so it's 2:08 a.m., and I mentioned what I'm smoking on, and I mentioned who I'm chilling with, so now I wanted to mention what I'm listening to. I'm listening to some Parliament. Their album, Funkin' Telekey versus the Placebo Syndrome. I also discovered some new podcasts. I punched in Eli Roth and just looked at all the podcasts that he's on. It turns out the newest podcast that Eli Roth is on, I haven't even heard. I think it's the newest one. It's from December 22nd, 2021. It's the DGA podcast, the director's cut. And it's about Ghostbusters Afterlife with Jason Reitman and also Eli Roth. I probably didn't listen to it because I don't like Ghostbusters. And I don't really like Jason Reitman, but Eli Roth's on it, so I will be listening to it very soon, in the very near future. I also went back and listened to the Slasher Films episode of the Talk is Jericho podcast with Eli Roth, his brother Gabe Roth, and the editor Mark Goldblatt. Okay, a couple more things that I wanted to add. I just took a massive rip, so now I can't even remember. And, alright, well, so I've been listening to this Parliament album, I listened to the first half of it. So it's six songs, but it is 44 minutes long. It's from October 1st, 1977. That's when it was released, presumably. And that's what I was going to tell you, 1977. Anyway, so I listened to Bop Gun, Endangered Species, Sir Nose D, Void of Funk. That's all one word, Void of Funk, and Wizard of Finance. I particularly like the end of Sir Nose D, Void of Funk, and Wizard of Finance. And that was pretty much all I wanted to add, if I'm remembering correctly. I just got into the Directors Guild pod with Jason Reitman and Eli Roth. I just started it. I'm just over a minute into it. But it did get me thinking. The podcast came out before Ivan Reitman died. He died like right after it. I think he was kind of at peace. I'm not talking about because of this podcast episode, but I mean because of the movie, Afterlife, Ghostbusters Afterlife. His son had finally made a Ghostbusters movie, and that was kind of the key. That was the feather in his cap, was Ghostbusters. That was kind of the key to his whole career. That was his fortune. That was his franchise. And his son finally did it. There was finally a worthy sequel to Ghostbusters, or a worthy reimagining of it after the terrible female Ghostbusters. Just kidding, not really. I haven't seen that one. I'm not a Ghostbusters fan. I was going to say there's finally a worthy sequel, but I would say Ghostbusters 2 is a worthy sequel. and yeah, it was just interesting. They just played a little clip of what Jason Reitman had to say right at the beginning of the episode. And he mentioned that he grew up surrounded by all this iconography, and the movie's kind of about that and about, I guess, his relationship with his father and with Ghostbusters. Hey, it's me, Max Jaren, listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I know I've already recorded a lot for this episode, and you know what? This might actually just end up being the start of the next episode. I think that's actually what I'm gonna do. Although wait, I already talked about the Jess Franco movie. All right, I guess I'll just stick with this. And I didn't end up watching anything else. In a rare move, after I recorded and after I smoked early in the morning, I was looking through streaming, and I just ended up going to sleep without watching anything. I don't usually do that. I usually put on something. But this is the problem with streaming is that, and this is the problem with too many options, is that it's just, you get to a point where it's just not even worth it. You've seen everything, you've tried everything. There's the illusion of choice, the illusion of so many options, but then there really aren't any options. So I just went to sleep. But I did remember the name of the Jess Franco movie that I watched, which was the sadistic something or other. I'm going to pull up the description though. And I also want to talk about a short film that David Cronenberg made with his daughter, which is called The Death of David Cronenberg, which I do actually want to talk about for a second. The Sadistic Baron von Klaus. That's what it is. So that's the name of the episode. All right, let me pull up Death of David Cronenberg. So it was available like on this bidding website, which I did find, and Super Rare it's called. And I did share it on my Instagram story if you're so inclined. Check it out. The Video Nasties Instagram is Vide, that's VIDE dot O Nasties. That's ONASTIES. This is from SuperRare.com. quote, "The Death of David Cronenberg is a short, one-minute film written by and starring filmmaker, screenwriter, and actor David Cronenberg. The Death of David Cronenberg features the subject standing in a small, softly lit room. He wears a robe and looks deeply into the camera before his gaze shifts to a motionless figure in a bed. The film, a collaboration with Cronenberg's daughter Caitlin, who shot and produced the film, explores mortality, surrealism, and the metamorphosis of life and death." So I thought that was kind of interesting. I watched some of it. And he's also got Crimes of the Future coming out this year, hopefully. So I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you are too, here on Video Nasties. So I don't really have anything else to add. I do kind of want to pull up... You know what? Fuck it, I'm doing it. I want to pull up the description of this movie that I watched. The Jess Franco movie. Let me see if it'll let me pull it up without actually starting the movie, and therefore cutting off the recording, which is a problem I've had in the past. So, what I feared would happen did happen, and the video cut me off, but I'm back. So, as you maybe can or can't tell, I'm in more of a talking mood today. I don't know what that will result in. I will get some writing done today. Excuse me. And, yeah, hopefully I'll be doing some more recording. I don't know when, but at some point today, maybe throughout the day, hopefully throughout the day. I kind of have been liking doing that. Yesterday, you know, I had more to do, so I was busier, but I'm liking just... recording... Yeah, just recording throughout the day, now that I have time. Okay, so this is from the Era streaming app. This is The Sadistic Baron von Klaus, 1 hour 39 minutes, horror, 1962, Spain, directed by Jess Franco. Quote, "In this follow-up to his groundbreaking horror film, The Awful Dr. Orloff..." Oh, shit, so that was actually first, so I should have watched that one first. So I don't know what I'm watching tonight. I might watch one of these. I want to watch West Side Story at one point. It's on HBO Max now. Jess Franco, female vampire, a virgin among the living dead, continued to lay the foundation of a career defined by fetishistic imagery and transgressive violence. So, a virgin among the living dead. What happened was I fell asleep, and a bunch of these movies just played while I was sleeping. And when I turned the TV back on and checked it, A Virgin Among the Living Dead was playing, and I just saw this one shot from it, and it just grabbed my attention, and I want to watch that one now. So that might end up being the next one that I watch. I don't know. I'll see. But it just, I don't know, it looked like it kind of had like a jungle setting, and like I said, I like the way Jess Franco movies look. I like the way he shoots. And yeah, so I liked the look of this image that I saw when I turned the TV on. Quote, "A series of grisly murders in the remote village of Holfen convinces the locals that the town is still cursed by the spirit of a 17th century baron who maintained an elaborate torture chamber in the dungeon of his estate." All right, I'm going to skip ahead a little. Quote, "The sadistic baron von Klaus occupies a significant stage in Franco's evolution as a filmmaker. On one hand, it is a well-produced thriller in the European style. The influence of Carol Reed's The Third Man is apparent throughout." And this movie is in black and white, I should mention. "But Franco is clearly interested in stepping outside convention to innovate something of his own, as evidenced by the newly restored torture dungeon sequence, which cult film historian Tim Lucas, Video Watchdog, called, quote, horror cinema's first sequence of 100-proof erotic horror, end of quote." That's interesting. I don't know if I saw that part. I think I was asleep by then. "It is a sequence that is shocking even today and was in 1962 an omen of diabolical things to come." Cast: Anna Castor as Lita, Howard Vernon as Baron Max von Klaus,
Oh, so his name is Max. I like it. Paula Martel, Corrine, crew, Jess Franco, director, Jess Franco, writer, and then Renee Sabile and Michelle Lucan, or Lucan, as, or they're also writers on it. So I just want to read you a little bit of Arrow's description of Jess Franco. Quote, "A filmmaker as notorious as his output, Jess or Jesus Franco made at least 173 and maybe more than 180 films and was a workaholic, pumping out as many sexploitation horror and sexploitation horror films as he was able and allowed to do." So you get the idea. I just thought of something. There's this kind of like short. Oh, you know what it is? It's the BBC thing. All right, so if you go on YouTube, there's like a BBC profile of Quentin Tarantino from the 90s. Like, this is from like 95 or something. It could even be earlier. It could even be 94, like right after Pulp Fiction happened, came out and blew up. Might have even been before Pulp Fiction to promote it. I mean, he had made Pulp Fiction. I know that. But it might have been before it was actually released. Because, of course, it was already garnering buzz after winning the Palme d'Or at Cannes. So there's a part of this kind of like, whatever you want to call it, a mini documentary, a profile of Quentin Tarantino, like I said, from the 90s. And there's a part of it where he goes into the Video Store video archives because it's still open at this point. And he's talking to the people that work there, and Lance shows up, the owner, the guy who hired him. And he's talking with Lance, and I think it might have been Jerry Martinez. I could have that wrong. The guy who drew the Red Apple logo. That might not be right, though. Anyway, so they're all talking, and Tarantino's kind of defending Lance, actually, and saying, "Oh no, this guy knows a lot about movies." I don't know, somebody kind of intimates that Tarantino knows more than Lance about movies or something. And Tarantino says, "No, Lance, he knows a lot." And then Tarantino says, "I know more about Jess Franco movies than he does," or, "I know more Jess Franco movies than he does." Something like that. I forget exactly what he says, but it is a Jess Franco reference, okay? I suggest you all go look it up. I am going to share it on the Video Nasties Twitter, which is at Video Nasties 1. I'm going to find that specific segment. I think on YouTube it has it broken up into 5 6-minute segments or something. 5 segments. I don't know how long each of them is. They might each be like 10 minutes. It might have been like a full hour thing. They were really obsessed with Tarantino in England. And maybe still are in some ways. Maybe they still appreciate him in ways that we don't here in the United States. I think that's true, actually. And I actually just listened to a British interview with him, apparently, with Tarantino. I've really been going deep on Apple Podcasts and finding these podcasts that I never listened to, but I found this one from BBC Radio 4. The program is called Front Row Daily. Quentin Tarantino is the guest, released on September 2nd, 2021. Here's how the description starts. This is from the Apple Podcast app. Quote, "When Quentin Tarantino's debut novel was published earlier this summer, he gave his only UK broadcast interview to Front Row." So I don't really know where I was going with that, but I just thought that that was an interesting interview, one that I hadn't heard, and one about the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood novel, which I'm always interested to hear about. And he did give a lot of interviews about the novel around that time, like more interviews than he's ever given. My theory is that he was launching the next phase of his career, the next part of his career, the next stage of his career. And so he was really getting out there and promoting this book, which, he probably was really proud of also and had a lot of faith in and wanted to get out there and. Apparently, it sold really well. I think it's amazing. Easily my book of the year last year. It's my favorite book ever right now. Speaking of books, I'm still reading Stick by Elmore Leonard. It's great. I love it. It's, I mean, I can't say it's a great crime novel. I haven't even finished it yet. But it's a good crime novel, as probably most of Elmore Leonard's books are, or crime books are. So check it out. Peace.